A man was arrested for pleasuring himself with a woman's car for 3 years. Two Bay Area railway workers are in trouble for building secret apartments inside train stations. And Tennessee Senate passed a bill allowing armed public school teachers. These are the weird stories on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast in the galaxy. This is your host, Jonesy. I'm still recording from outside the country. Thanks for joining me. Let's get into it. Got some weird news from around the world just for you. A man was arrested for sexually pleasuring himself with a woman's car. The story is out of North Carolina, where men are just acting like men, just trying to rub it up against anything that moves, including cars. Apparently, this man was arrested in North Carolina Monday for activity related to what they're calling mechanophilia. Mechanophilia, guys, let's define our terms here. This is a new one. Mechanophilia, sexual attraction to machines or vehicles. That's a dangerous sexual attraction. You don't want to be sexually attracted to machines and vehicles because they hurt when you push yourself against them. They hurt so much. They don't feel good against your soft nether regions. Although I suppose you could just lick them. Now, we have an 82-year-old woman who I assume owns the car. She said that this man, who she does not know, has been using her car to sexually pleasure himself for 3 years. 3 years. Wow, this is already longer than any relationship I've had. I'm so jealous. Why did she allow it to go on for 3 years before turning him into the police? What did she, what did she think? 2.5 years he was going to change his tune? Will he keep doing it at the three-year mark? I'll just wait for 3 years. I'm a patient person. It's just 3 years is a long time, and it's a lot of dedication. I'm going to bet this guy is totally exhausted, right, guys? I mean, he must be real tired is what I'm going to assume. Sorry for the bad puns. I'd like to get some information on what kind of car it is. I mean, how sexy is this car? Well, it's got to be sexy, right? And if it is this sexy that someone would sexually pleasure himself for 3 years dedicated like this, I think it might be time to pimp her car, literally. The 82-year-old woman also says her car has been urinated on. All right. Is that the same man? Or you have a serial car urinator as well? What do you call someone who can't stop urinating on cars? There's got to be a word for that, too. I'm going to guess it's a mechanophilia. But I can't say for sure. The police arrested Walter McCray, age 52, on Monday. Arrest warrants accuse McCray of getting on the hood of the car and sexually gratifying himself on multiple occasions. Okay, so that's how he did it. I was wondering if it was the old banana in the tailpipe thing. He's getting up on the hood there. Well, who can resist the luxurious sensation of grinding on top of a hood in July? or January, for that matter, in North Carolina. This guy's just getting on. Is it every day? Is it a day thing? I think this might be how you get Transformers, right? If you do this, I think this guy's the father to several Transformers, I'd imagine. Now, the 82-year-old woman who owns the car, I assume they're not saying so, and they're still not saying what sort of car it is. She says she tried to put cameras out to catch evidence of what was happening, but she said McCray would move the cameras. He was just trying to get some better angles for his OnlyFans. It's only cars, OnlyFans. It's like OnlyFans, but it's just people getting it on with sexy cars. Do you think this guy would pay for nudes of my 2010 Civic? I'm wondering. Just trying to make a little extra money on the side here. All right. Anyway, so it turns out the camera scheme didn't work. 3 years. Just call the police, lady. What do you? I still don't understand this. It still doesn't say it. I'm at the bottom of the story here. He's charged with felony stalking and 5 counts of damage to property. No word on what car this was. Yeah. Okay, I was able to piece together, I believe, what kind of car it is by the photo. Still hard to see, but it looks like there's a little tiny, I see a tiny Toyota emblem in the center of the wheel. Looks like it might be an Avalon, is my guess. Not exactly, you know, not exactly the sort of car that I get Randy over, but, you know, to each his own. I'm more of a Dodge Ram guy, you know what I mean? What about you? Call the show, 646-450-2012. Railway workers are arrested for building secret apartments inside train stations. Two Bay Area railway employees gave new meaning to transit-oriented development when they allegedly built two illegal apartments inside some train stations for a combined $50,000. Well, you know how difficult it is to find a place up in the Bay. You know, rents are pretty outrageous. So, yeah, sometimes you got to build an illegal apartment inside a train station. Or, you know, I don't even... inside the Dunkin' Donuts bathroom. I mean, wherever you can lay your head up there, it's tough stuff. San Mateo prosecutors allege that two former Caltrain officials built two secret office-to-apartment conversions in two peninsula stations south of San Francisco. Now we have here a former Caltrain Deputy Director Joseph Navarro and contractor Seth Andrew Warden facing felony charges for misusing public funds to build these miniature apartments in these historic train stations. Neither facility is being used by the public at the moment. One of them is a deputy director? I mean, that sounds like he's way up on the ladder. The misuse of public funds, oh... I cover a lot of that on Weird AF News. It's so sad. Well, this is what you get when you have centralized government. You have misuse of public funds. They go hand in hand. Now, Mr. Warden is a 61-year-old resident of Oceanside in San Diego. That's odd. He pleaded not guilty. Navarro, 66, formerly of the Bay Area and now of Newton, Pennsylvania, is going to be arraigned later this month. Now, apparently the transit workers found the Warden's Millbrae apartment in 2020, but didn't discover Navarro's secret little hideaway inside the Burlingame station until an anonymous tip in 2022. Both were fired. I assume they were living in the miniature apartments themselves, or were they renting them out? It doesn't indicate thus far. Their alleged crimes have received some admiration in a region where developers can easily spend north of $900,000 to build one unit of affordable housing. So I guess they're saying, hey, if these guys can do it for $50,000, why don't we hand the keys over to them? Let's see if they can build some affordable housing for the rest of us. Yeah, except for you're going to get your... we got to see a photo of these houses, first of all. I mean, are they janky little houses? And second of all, you're going to be stuck living in a train station or a bus station. It sounds like they have a particular set of skills. They're not out there building a giant luxury apartment complex. They're building what probably is a tiny little tiny home shack or something in the back of a warehouse that used to be a train station or some such thing. Like I said, many were impressed with Warden and Navarro, who spent a respective $8,000 on the Millbrae unit and $42,000 on the Burlingame unit. They managed to convert offices into housing on the cheap, is what they did, apparently. We have someone named Mark, who's an East Palo Alto-based recruiter. He wrote on social media, "Hire that man to build some housing. $42,000 for an apartment? Amazing." All right. Well, I mean, they're going to jail, perhaps, but maybe rather than prison, you could put their skills to use somehow. Certainly would be more productive than just having them sit around in prison fiddling their fingers. But you can't really trust them, is the other thing. You can't. I mean, they stole money to do it. You could even give them a budget, but that's, you know, they still may keep some for themselves is the issue. You're dealing with inscrupulous individuals. Is it inscrupulous or unscrupulous? I can't recall. Maybe it's just scrupulous. Tennessee passes a bill that allows armed public school teachers. This story is out of Nashville, Tennessee. Teachers carrying guns could soon become a reality in Tennessee schools as a bill continues to make its way throughout the legislature. The Senate passed HB 1202 on April 9th in a 26-5 vote not long after clearing the gallery following cries from people protesting the legislation, as you can imagine. This bill would allow faculty or staff members of a school to carry a concealed handgun on school grounds under certain conditions. I can't see how this could possibly go wrong, right, guys? The faculty carrying guns? Just teachers having guns in class. What could possibly go wrong? My teacher couldn't even identify who was talking in the back of the class. Yeah, I'm sure this is going to go smoothly. Right, here are the details. The teachers who decide to carry a gun to class would have to undergo 40 hours of annual gun training at their own expense. Own expense? Why wouldn't you take care of that expense? Wouldn't you want your teachers to have a lot of gun training if they're going to be bringing it around the children? Why wouldn't you pay for that? That's so bizarre. Just again and again, teachers completely screwed over in this country. I'm going to guess they're not paid extra for this either. I mean, if we're going to break it down, this is an extra role that they're playing. It's a second job, really. They're teaching, but they're also security. They should get two salaries. And they should get paid more than the cops, because the cops, they don't even handle the gunmen at the schools. They sort of sit on the sidelines. You're going to expect the teachers to handle it right there in the moment. So in a way, yeah, they should be paid heavily for this. Oh, these teachers are going to quit, obviously. Okay, so the teachers have to pay for the gun training at their own expense. It's unbelievable. Probably have to buy their own gun, too. In addition to receiving approval from the school director, passing a mental health evaluation, and passing an FBI background check. Funny that you don't have to pass an FBI background check to become a teacher or have a mental health evaluation to become a teacher. But to have a gun in the classroom, you have to pass these such things. We could have criminals with mental disabilities teaching our children, but no one's going to know until it's too late. You let them bring a gun to class, didn't you? It says those training requirements are the same as what the state requires for school resource officers, with some lawmakers such as Republican so-and-so, the bill's sponsor, obviously a Republican, saying legislation could be a solution for schools struggling to find SROs. Yeah, they're having a hard time finding SROs. My guess is they're having a hard time funding school resource officers because these schools are at the limit of their budget. You know, probably another reason why they're doing this. They're like, let's have the teachers replace those resource officers. All right, we can get 2 gigs out of one, guys. This is disgusting, by the way. It says, if you're from a rural district where resources are limited, you don't have the ability to provide enough SROs for your community or an SRO at all. This would give you an opportunity to find a different pathway with training, fingerprints, mental evaluation. They believe, at least this Republican believes, having armed teachers could be a good deterrent for potential shooters. Yeah, okay. However, the bill has faced opposition, obviously. I love how he believes that having armed teachers, this could be a good deterrent. Yeah. In Tennessee, they don't trust the teachers with books, but they want them to carry guns. This makes a lot of sense. Well, I mean, what can you say at the end of the day about Tennessee? It's really going the way of Florida, it would seem. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining me for this episode of Weird AF News. I think it was pretty weird. And I want to thank everybody who sent me articles and reached out the past few days. Appreciate all of the hellos. Checking in on me. It means a lot. Still plugging along with the podcast. I'm traveling. I'm in another country. I just arrived in a place that is known for coffee. So see if you can guess where this is. And yeah. Anyways, if you haven't subscribed to the show, please consider doing so on whatever podcast player that you're listening to, or maybe it's even YouTube. Just know that I do Weird News 5 days a week, and on Friday, it's only Weird News out of Florida. That's right. Florida Fridays. That's what we do around here. If you would like to help out, you can leave a review for the show on either Amazon or Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes, or you can leave 5 stars on Spotify if you're listening on Spotify. That would be very, very helpful. If you'd like to support the show, there's a few options that you have. In addition to telling your neighbor Harold about it, you can go to weirdafnews.com, the official website. And from there, you can buy a coffee, or you can join the Patreon, which is a great way to support the show. I guess that's about it. Yeah. Got the outro going, you know, just putting a button on it, as I tend to do. And we'll do some weird news tomorrow. Should I do some weird news tomorrow? Okay, sure. You convinced me. Where would I be without you? Love you. And good luck with your life, man.